remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the BC Pre-Council Members Call on the 6th of June, 2012. On the call today, we have Jensen Olafuyu, Marilyn Cade, Steve DelBianco, Elisa Cooper, Janet O'Callaghan, Gabriella Slack, Aisha Hassan, Ron Andrus, James Baskin, Angie Graves, Andrew Abram, Sarah Falvey, Anders Halverson, and Philip Cohen. And we should have Chris Chapler joining shortly. And we have apologies from John Berard and Frederick Fellman. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Marilyn.
Vinny, I'm going to ask you to really help us be rigorous on remembering to say our names. And so since I just missed that, my name is Marilyn Cade. I'm just going to review the agenda and see if we want to make any adjustments or reprioritization. We are going to start out with a quick discussion that Vinny and I will manage on the resolution of the travel hotel issues for Prague. We'll then go to some of the new GTLD announcements and issues and what the implications are for membership. And that's a discussion about how we are going to continue to deal with our discussion about what I might say to all of you as the March of the Brands and the changes in the ICANN organizational foundational structure that moves a very large number of parties that used to be in the non-contracted space into the contracted space. We're just going to touch on that because that will be the topic of later discussions on the 11th and on the 18th. So I'm going to tee that up in our agenda and then ask for people who want to spend more time on that on the 11th and on the 18th. We're going to focus a huge amount of our time today on the council agenda issues. Steve will lead that. Steve and I had a meeting with John yesterday, John Berard, one of our counselors yesterday. I don't think we've heard from Zaid, but Steve will lead on the council agenda issues, and you have the full agenda posted. We're then going to go on to just an announcement on a couple of activities involving interactions with the board, and then we're going to talk about the AOC review team reports and the next steps. We're going to talk about the budget, strategic plan, and Prague planning, and then some discussions about external threats and issues. And I'm really glad that Aisha Hassan is on the phone with us, and Jemson Alafui, and Steve, all of whom have been, and I see Sarah's on the phone as well, who've been joining me and others in external events that have significant implications for ICANN. Does anyone want to add a new agenda topic? Or are you so overwhelmed that you're now going, oh, my God, how can we deal with all of this?
Do we have, did you say there's something on the agenda about the report that just came out, the independent report that included the conflict of interest material?
Jim, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. I missed that. I think we should add that under item 6 on the AOC review team. We'll add the conflict of interest topics.
Okay.
And that's fantastic. Thank you. Anything else? Sarah, just quickly from you, under item 9, can you end of the call? I want to be sure we have a chance to incorporate Google's inputs on what we're hearing externally.
Sure. So did you say externally?
Yes. On item 9, will you be able to stay for the duration of the call so we can talk about the external discussion, the external threats discussion?
So I actually am going to have to drop off the call in 15 minutes, but Andy was going to cover for Google. But if you want to move it up, I'm happy to talk about it now, or I can send out an email or whatever's easiest.
I think if it's okay, then with all the members, Steve, I'm going to move that up and put it under item 2 is going to be so short. I'm going to move that up so we can take advantage of Sarah and Aisha being with us, and then we'll go into the rest of the agenda, if that's okay with everyone.
Thank you.
Okay. Benny, I'm just going to do the update on the travel hotel issues. It largely has to do with follow-up. If you have not, it's Marilyn Kate speaking, if you have not sent Benny information on whether you've received a notice from the hotel that you were walked or returned, please send that information. We are gathering a spreadsheet with that information. We've asked the IPC and the ISPs to share that information. I did intervene at a fairly senior level, as you all saw. I complained to the chairman of the board, the CEO and president, and the COO and the meeting director about our members being walked. As far as I can tell, 13 to 15 of the BC members were walked out of the 20-some who had reservations. A smaller number of other members of the community were walked, but it was some kind of random issue. Additionally, did not think it was their responsibility. I think I've convinced them it is. The hotel has reportedly reinstated all of the reservations, but we need your reservation number information if you were walked, so we can go back to the hotel and we're going to go to the meeting director and tell the meeting director, Nick Tommaso, he needs to verify based on confirmation numbers that everyone has been reinstated. And I've also told ICANN that they need to designate a meeting staff person to deal with any on-the-spot issues. I'm not going to dwell on this. It did come down to a difference of opinion between me and the CEO and the chairman of the board, but I think that's the result, and they now agree that since they advertised the rates, they advertised the hosting, they are responsible. And we have an agreement that Nick Tommaso and his team will resolve this. So if you haven't sent your reservation number information to Benny, the dates you're arriving, the dates you're leaving, if you would do that, then we're going to send that off to make sure that they're taking care of it. And you should be getting assurances from the hotel, but I want a final sign-off from the ICANN meeting staff that they have addressed everyone who's been walked, that we're responsible for encouraging to attend. I'm not trying to put us in charge of the rest of the world, but our members need to know when they arrive, their reservations are going to be responded to. Benny, anything else we need to, you just need the reservation number, dates of arrival, and dates of leaving, right?
Yeah, the hotel name and the arrival and departure dates. And the email addresses that would like to be joined so that I can add them to the meetings list.
Well, I think that's different. This is about whether you've been walked, but separately,
if
you want to talk about the meetings list for the BC, which is a separate issue?
Yes, I mean, that would be the only thing I would like to add. Other than that, yeah, everything that you said is perfect.
And if you could just be sure you've let Vinny know, and if you're bringing guests, let us know as well, because we're trying to organize some social events. So let me move to Aisha. Can I just confirm you're on the phone?
I'm here.
And I see Taro has joined us as well. Taro, since you've joined us, we've reorganized the agenda a little bit. We're going to move item 9 up. And I see we have Jimson, we have Aisha, we have Sarah, and we have Anders and Taro and myself. If we could, I want to open a conversation about the update on external threats and issues. That's item 9. I want to actually start by inviting Aisha to give us... she and Taro were with me in Geneva, or I was with them. It's hard to know here. I think we should have a quick update on the IGF meeting from our MAG members who are also BC members and the CSTD issues. And Aisha, if I could start with you and then ask Taro to join with any other comments.
Certainly, Marilyn. Thank you very much. This is Aisha Hassan from the International Chamber of Commerce speaking. The Commission on Science and Technology for Development, CSTD, is tasked with the overall follow-up of the World Summit on the Information Society. And one of the things that the WSIS Summit decided, in addition to the Internet Governance Forum, was that there was this concept of enhanced cooperation, so a process towards enhancing cooperation between the Internet-related organizations. In a nutshell, the discussions during the last CSTD meeting in Geneva this past month revealed what we're all seeing in the news in other aspects as well, the push by certain governments for an intergovernmental oversight structure or some kind of process where only governments would be exchanging on and reviewing Internet-related issues. So what we witnessed was the continued debate about what is enhanced cooperation, but at the bottom line, it's about the Internet governance landscape and the multi-stakeholder approach, and ICANN is a fundamental part of that issue. There's certain governments who are pushing for intergovernmental processes regarding the Internet are focused primarily on ICANN and certain elements related to ICANN's functioning and its role and the role of governments. And so it is part of the landscape. Marilyn has also put in there the point D on ITU and related challenges. I'll just put that in context that we do have the WICCET coming up in December, which is a treaty conference of the ITU, and we have the WTPF of ITU next May. And there are governments who would like to see this concept of an intergovernmental approach to some Internet issues or oversight brought up in those contexts as well. In that regard, there is a Internet Governance Landscape workshop scheduled for Monday of the ICANN meeting, which will highlight some of the issues and challenges coming up in the context of the IGF, the WICCET, and this concept of enhanced cooperation. So I would certainly encourage members to participate in that workshop. And with that, I guess that's the broad overview at this point. Thanks, Marilyn.
Aisha, thanks. I'm not sure Aisha was quite as terrifying as I think we need to be. if you don't mind my elaborating.
Please elaborate.
On a couple of points you made, Aisha. When we came out of the World Summit on the Information Society, we had three working outcomes. One was something called the action lines, and I'll come back to that shortly. Another was, and then I'm going to come to Sarah, if you don't mind, Sarah. Another was the Internet Governance Forum, and another was enhanced cooperation. Business has sought to bring those three activities together into a merged stream to advantage how developing countries can benefit from ICTs and the Internet. But some governments want to take a sort of a division approach and make Internet governance, as Aisha said, into a it's about governments negotiating among themselves on issues related to the Internet. And in that list of issues, that includes policy on GTLDs, policy on CCTLDs, policy on IP, addressing allocation, policy on where the root servers are allocated. You're beginning to think, oh, my God, that's all about ICANN, and you should think that. It's a short list of governments, and one of our opportunities is to really work as the BC to strengthen the GAC at ICANN and work collaboratively with the GAC to bring the voice of the governments very actively into the GAC. Sarah, you were just at CETEL, which is one of the regional entities, and while the meeting there was about the ITU, you had an opportunity to see the concerns and issues from the regional perspective from the government. Do you want to comment right now? And I'm going to ask you to comment on something else later, but do you want to comment right now on your experience at CETEL?
Sure, and I think that, you know, what I'm about to say is not going to come as a surprise to everybody, but one of the interesting things that is clearly going on is that countries really want a one-stop shop kind of a place. They're sort of used to that when dealing with sort of trade issues or health issues, you know, or whatever the issue may be. But because the internet is so multifaceted, it's really obviously difficult to just have a one-stop shop kind of solution because you're dealing with businesses and private sector entities and the networks and the technical community and all this stuff. So what was really interesting about the CETEL meeting was that there was clearly a discussion around, like, you know, there's a Paraguay proposal, for example, that really wants to do charging around, you know, peering and transit costs and termination costs, which would sort of impact internet traffic. And they're having a very local problem, and they don't know how to solve it, and so they're trying to go through the ITU as a way to solve their very local problem. And so one of the things that we did while we were there is, you know, ICANN was there, ITALK was there, is we sort of tried to show them how working through the multi-stakeholder community and working through the multi-stakeholder process is actually, you can help them solve their problems, whereas if you go through the ITU, it's not even clear if your proposal is going to help your problem that you're having, and what you're trying to solve. So I think that is kind of the approach that we've been taking, trying to look more at how to build IXTs and working with ISOC and things like that. But that was sort of the number one thing that came out of the CETEL meeting.
I think that's a really interesting thing for us to think about from the BC perspective as we look at the GAC, Sarah, as we look at the government, and Aisha and I, and Taro, who's on the phone, we were with a number of governments, and I kind of think if we are going to protect ICANN and make ICANN, help ICANN survive, we need to start analyzing this kind of data that Sarah has just provided and Aisha has just provided, and I'm going to turn to Taro in just a minute. How do we advance the understanding and interactions with a group of governments, not just European, but a group of governments across three or four regions? We won't be able to get all the regions to work with us, but how do we work with them on ICANN issues, and how do we leverage that to make sure ICANN is successful? Carol, you were with us in Geneva. Any key insights that you want to add to that?
Well, yeah, I was in the MAC meeting and open IGF consultations. Then I missed the enhanced cooperation at the CSTD next week, but the week following, maybe at least one view is also that Morris, I would encourage people to join the IGF meeting, because if you are only in ICANN meeting, that might be quite an eye-opening event, because naturally ICANN is there discussed and it will be in the workshops and sessions, but you might find out that there is a lot of life outside ICANN. In a way, it can help you to put ICANN in the bigger picture.
I think that's insightful. That I have a transcript from we have a transcript, and Aisha, I want to come back to you and Taro on Euridig for just a minute. We have a transcript from the a partial transcript from the enhanced cooperation. I'll send it to Benny, and for anyone who wants it, we won't post it to the BC, but for anyone who wants it, they can email Benny and she can provide it to them. Steve's on the phone, and I want to quickly, I think we should talk just briefly about the hearing. And Sarah, you and Steve and I were all at the Congressional Caucus event yesterday, as well as Phil Corwin. But I want to focus, first of all, on the congressional hearing, because sometimes information about the U.S. Congress can be blown out of proportion. Steve, can you say a couple of words about the congressional hearing last week?
Sure, Marilyn. Congress has regularly weighed in whenever the UN or ITU starts to try to do any encroachment on Internet governance, and they've always been a little ham-handed in how they've done it. I think this time around, the U.S. Congress really raised their game. They held a hearing that discussed substantive matters. They had some excellent expert witnesses. Vint Cerf of Google was just outstanding. Phil Vavere of the State Department was also on. Sally Wentworth of ISOC. David Grossman, former U.S. representative from the State Department who handled some of the negotiations at Tunis. But a lot of the hearing centered on a resolution, a very brief resolution that's both bipartisan and bicameral here in Congress. And rather than sort of go after the UN in any sort of philosophical way or assert that the U.S. has any special role, I think this resolution is very well constructed because it favors the multi-stakeholder process over one where governments alone would have the voting control over Internet policies. I'll just read you the last line. As it says, suggests that to promote a global Internet free from government control and preserve and advance the successful multi-stakeholder model that governs the Internet today, end quote. So I am confident that that will pass both houses of Congress. It's just a resolution. It's not a matter of law. But it's great to see Washington coming together and articulating support for the multi-stakeholder model without actually being pejorative or negative about the UN or the ITU, because, heck, the ITU does a lot of good things. They should stick with what they do well in Spectrum and probably stay away from trying to govern the way we handle content or processes and programs on the Internet.
And
that's it.
Bill Smith has joined us, and I want to turn to Bill because Bill's been a real leader in identifying some, Bill, I hope this is okay with you, but I'm just going to say that Bill has identified an early set of real risk on some of the proposals from some of the governments that have huge implications for the companies that weren't paying attention. And if you don't mind, Bill, could I turn to you and ask you to say a few words about how, because you're very actively involved in the WICKET evaluation, Ben, you've been at some of the recent meetings as well.
Sure, Marilyn, thanks. The specific language that is being proposed by a number of member states is fairly innocuous by and large. Simple word change here, simple addition there, and nothing looks too bad. The worst things are, I would say, related to cybersecurity, and they're largely coming from Eastern Europe. And those are clearly intended to be to have an impact on the Internet. The others, though, we'll just insert a single word into the definition of telecommunications. That's coming from the Arab region. That word, however, is processing. So you now have changed telecommunications to include computation. And that's a huge change, even though it's a single word, and it has significant implications for everyone, including business. Other changes would be around definitions in terms of administration or a recognized operating agency, which in the United States would be, as an example, the FCC. In other other regions or countries around the world. It would be the whatever your local PPP is. They would be in administration typically. And Chain, yes.
This is Jim Baskin. Sorry to interrupt, but is this a change to the definition of a registered operating agency? Because in the U.S., AT&T and Verizon are ROAs.
No, Jim, yes, it's Marilyn. You're quite right. This is a big topic of discussion within the U.S., but I think Bill is pointing to the outside of the U.S. issue.
I'm pointing to both, okay, and what is being suggested is really a wholesale change between administration and or recognized operating agency to operating agency, okay? And while that may be a reasonable change, and I'm not arguing one way or the other for telephony, it is a horrible change for the Internet because, as an example, PayPal, Google, eBay, Amazon, Facebook, Twitter all become operating agencies.
And Bill, can
because of the definition, because we are able to transit information across the Internet. And the other changes that are being proposed with respect to settlements and accounting could cause any operating agency to have to engage in settlement activities. And that might mean that, I'll speak for my company, PayPal would have to pay some dollar amount for each packet that we transit on the Internet. Provided, assuming it went to certain jurisdictions, that breaks the economics of the Internet in huge ways, okay? And for me, this is the law of unintended consequences. We make this little change here without investigating or recognizing what the potential impact is with other things. So I'm not saying any of these will happen. I'm saying, though, that what we need to do is look at every change that is being proposed from the lens of what could this possibly do to the Internet, as opposed to where the State Department is coming from right now, and I support their position, their public position on this, where they are saying, we don't see a lot of changes that are directly impacting the Internet. That's fine from a public sort of PR position. They need to go into the negotiations with that perspective, okay? Provided they are prepared and the U.S. delegation has reviewed from the perspective of this change, how might it impact the Internet? What are the real negatives here?
And so we have, Bill, that's fantastic, and I want to say a couple things about this. It's really possible that there's a ITU Council Working Group that is close to sector members and close to the public, which has a long list of topics that includes GTLD policy, CCTLD policy, the location of the root servers, allocation of IP addresses, the role of Internet intermediaries, the definition of who is an Internet intermediary, which could include whether registries and registrars and other parties like, I'm just going to name you, Bill, if you don't mind, PayPal, Microsoft, others, including carriers, as Internet intermediaries. So I think this whole set of issues, clearly has huge implications for ICANN, but it has implications as well for ICANN's role. And that was why we put this on the agenda. That is, what is ICANN's role and how do we, as business, advise ICANN, how do we help ICANN protect the integrity of its role and the non-expansion of its role, as Bill just so clearly identified. Jim, Taro, anyone else, Sarah, anyone else want to come in on this topic before we move to another topic? The workshop is going to take place on Monday that Aisha mentioned. We have the possibility of Wada Saganga, who is one of our BC members from Kenya, a developing country, joining with others on that workshop. But I think, Aisha, you're playing an organizing role on that workshop, so questions about that workshop, could we direct those to you?
Certainly. This is Aisha speaking. That'd be just fine. Thank you.
Anything anyone want to say, I think people may, members may look at this and say, why does the BC care? I think we care because, as Bill just articulated, the organization is either at risk because, and Bill, I'm not putting words into your mouth here, the organization at risk because of external threats, and now I'll speak to my own view, or from internal issues about what we're addressing, and we're going to go back to talking about internal issues. Anyone want to say anything else on this topic before we move on?
Yeah, Celine, can I come in?
Oh, please, Jimson. Jimson just spoke at a really interesting CSTD meeting.
Yes.
I was there as well. Yes, and Google representative. Jimson, please.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Jimson. Really, you had a question. How do we help ICANN? How do we support ICANN? Well, from my experience at the CSTD working, ICANN happens to be the center of attack, so to speak. When it comes to changes, when it comes to altering the IG, Internet Governance Mechanism, ICANN is the center. And the point is, whatever ICANN is doing, we want to move it to the United Nations. They don't want private sector. Private sector, it's a big business. We don't want them to work. So what I figured out that BC, we actually need to help ICANN, because as an entity from developing nations, I do know that a stable internet will help the development paradigm, you know, for developing nations. So we need to find a way to bring in more from developing nations in BC. Waldo is there from Kenya, but we need to get more business into the discussion because we don't want a kind of distorted internet process beyond what it is right now. We support multi-stakeholder, let more people be involved, business people, and the more people are involved, the more confidence, the more secure, the more we're able to together, not just solitarian or some individual that could wake up calling a nation and will allow a lot of people to be murdered or a lot of people killed and nobody can say anything. So we want the voices of business from developing nations to be involved. And the more from developing nations involved, the better for ICANN. So from BC constituency perspective, we need to work on that to bring in more developing delegates. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimson. I think we saw that in the CSTD when the chair of the Philippines made a very firm decision that on the 18th he would only have small business and developing country and civil society on the panel because he's trying to advance the understanding of all of the countries that the developing countries and small business are involved. You know, we're going to talk more about this on the 11th, on the 18th, and I'm going to ask members to, we're going to come back to why this is important. I'm just going to say a couple of things right now about some of the companies that are on the phone that are making a huge commitment in that space, and I will just acknowledge AT&T, Verizon, Google, and Aisha herself, Bill's company, Taro, that are looking at the IGF and the participation and how that is a parallel effort. Mark Monitor, gosh, I'm going to go through this entire list and acknowledge everything you guys are doing. But I think we'll talk on the 11th and on the 18th about the parallel sisterhood of events that influence whether we can make ICANN effective. And I'm going to move back to the core agenda for our meeting unless anyone wants to offer a final comment. And, Steve, you're the final commenter on... if you don't mind,
Anything that you want to say, or Phil Corwin, anything that you want to say from the Congressional Caucus event yesterday?
Yeah, Marilyn, Phil here. I thought, you know, well, the hearing was one thing, but I think the event yesterday was particularly useful for educating congressional staff on these issues, which they probably don't focus on a lot. And the one question I asked was to try to get the panelists to put in more understandable terms what the ultimate threat might be, what people are worried about. So I think it's useful how this congressional activity will impact the ultimate outcome. I have no idea, but it's good to get people to focus on it.
And Marilyn, this is Steve. I'll just add that it was a packed room over in Rayburn yesterday, but there was an elephant in the room that nobody talked about, which is the notion of whether UN efforts could get in the way of free expression on the Internet. And I think it's not part of the topic, because governments have shown that they can censor content effectively without actually changing the international telecommunications regulations. They don't actually need to do much else to put a stranglehold on content they may find offensive or threatening to a regime or to a culture. So censorship and free expression is always part of the rhetoric in opposition of governmental control, and yet wasn't mentioned at all in yesterday's meeting on Capitol Hill. Thanks.
So I'm going to mention that we will come back to that topic if on the 11th and the 18th, because I want to go into our agenda in preparation for Prague. Sorry, guys, I seem to be, you know, the. I want to go into our agenda for Prague, but I think it's really important that we make sure that the business constituency members understand we're in a an ecosystem, and ICANN can only succeed if it is improved and strengthened and improves its performance, which I would kind of give a C minus right now overall. It's, however, our ICANN, and we don't like any of the other alternatives. That's my summary view. It's just my personal view. But we got to fix this, and we have to go to Prague and deal with certain realities, and then we have to go to Toronto and deal with certain realities, and then we have to deal with these external events and meetings that involve some governments. It's a short list, but it is some governments who want to move functions from ICANN into an intergovernmental approach. If we don't fix ICANN, then we feed the need for or the Steve, I need your language here. If we don't fix ICANN, then we feed the vulnerability of ICANN to external governmental aspects. And so I'm going to move us back to our agenda and turn to Steve, because we have a very, very busy council agenda. The council is one of the ways we do it is the way we do policy on GTLDs. It's particularly active in its call tomorrow, and then going into Prague. And Steve, let me turn to you to ask how you want to handle discussions about policy issues.
We'll jump right into the council agenda, and Zahid is probably not on the call. John is at an all-day meeting on privacy. So there are only two votes at the council meeting tomorrow on what I circulated last night. They're items 5 and 6 under Channel 2, Channel 2 being council. The first is a motion which Zahid has made on registration abuse policies, or RAP. A lot of BC members have been active on that. This is a motion to establish a drafting team that would create charters for two new working groups, one on developing the framework for how we develop and certify best practices that registrars and registries use to stop registration abuse. And the second charter would be a working group that would look at specific best practices, not the framework, but a specific set of best practices against abusive registrations. On that matter, the BC not only made the motion, but I believe not only would we vote yes, and Zahid has a proxy for John since he can't be at the meeting tomorrow. I do believe this one will succeed. Any questions on that, registration abuse policies?
Steve, it's Marilyn. If I could just pause you for a minute. We've got a lot of new members on the call. Could you say a word about why, or maybe Jim, who's on the phone, but say a word about why this level of detail means such to the BC? Why it matters? Because we have so many members who, you know, this level of detail in a working group, and I think Chris is now on the call. This is where the rubber meets the road. But that's not always so apparent, I think, for all of our members.
Right. Registration of use policies was a catch-all phrase developed a few years ago where ICANN, at the behest of GNSO, took a hard look at ways in which registrants were being abused, at either the way registrations were being transferred or not transferred. We can talk about cyber squatting as the generic form of registration abuse that everyone's concerned about. And we had pushed for the development of policies to specifically address that, policies that could be enforced against registrars and registries. That has been sort of channeled, because contract parties are part of GNSO, that's been channeled more towards a best practices concept, to where the enforceability of these best practices remains to be seen, but at least it's the first step at coming up with what ought to be done in terms of registration abuse. We get a lot of help from the anti-phishing working group, because registration abuse could also include using a registration for the distribution of malware or for the maintenance of a botnet. And those are also known as registration abuse or fast flux hosting to frustrate law enforcement attempts to crack down on a site that's generating malware or spam or phishing attacks.
But Steve, thank you for that. I just want to comment on there's a very robust document out on best practices, but we need to acknowledge for new BC members that's voluntary, and it's voluntary because we lost the fight in the council to have a mandatory approach. And, you know, we need to understand for BC members, this should be a priority for us. We wanted a mandatory approach. We lost that to a voluntary approach. We got to focus on how this helps us. I'm not actually online right now. Is Elisa on the phone?
I am on the phone.
Oh, thank you, Elisa. Maybe we could. Is there anything you could attribute or comment on why this? This approach matters to business users?
I'm sorry. Can you please? I'm not sure I understand the full question.
I'm just saying that we have a voluntary approach that's being proposed, right, Steve? And you know, we're put in the position of needing to support the voluntary approach. But that's largely because we lost on a mandatory approach. We wanted the registrars to have stronger criteria. We're going to support, Steve, if I understand this, we're going to support the voluntary approach, but members need to understand we wanted a more Most of the registrars, you know, for new members, we have, you know, what, 800, 900 registrars. Maybe only 400 of those are real registrars, and the rest are allocating their functions to third parties. The VC wants, and this is not a comment about the core really good registrars, but the BC wants
to have accountability for anyone who's doing a registrar function. So Steve is describing functions that we want accredited registrars to be accountable for, right, Steve?
Right, and as you said, and as I described earlier, we had sought to have these become enforceable policies through consensus or changes to the registrar accreditation agreement. We were unable to get that, but when given lemons, we're trying to make lemonade out of it. We are going to pursue aggressive, specific description of best practices that attack specific abuses. That's got to be a first step, and if we're successful at describing them that way, sure, baking it into best practices feels like it's an unenforceable and really unsatisfactory step. But at least we'll have the specificity of what the practices ought to be, because when you move from best practice, the next step from best practice is required conduct. So if we can show best practices that are effective and that they're conducted by a significant percentage of registrars, I think we'll find allies in the governmental advisory committee, we'll find allies in the governments and other commercial stakeholders groups to help to move that from best practices to required conduct.
This is Elisa. I mean, I agree. I think it's great to have best practices, but if it's not required and it's not part of a contract, you know, I think you'll find few of the registrars actually fully complying.
And maybe in our comments, it's Marilyn Kay speaking. Steve, in our comments on this, that may be what we might say is we support best practices. However, we believe that, Elisa, you're going to have to help us with this. We believe that mandatory requirements will, because, you know, I come from the computer sector. And in the world I lived in, if people didn't think their competition was going to do it, they didn't do it. If they thought the competition was going to get an advantage by doing it, they did it. We want, as the BC, on this topic, if we could just park this and come back to it, Steve. But I think
okay, then I'll move on to the other item that has a vote, and Elisa, you can help me with this. It's the Who Has Access recommendation. This is a motion that's been banging around for a few months. It's made by Wolf Ulrich with the ISPs, and we seconded the motion here in the BC, and this is Elisa and I both felt it was well worth supporting. This is a resolution that, it calls for, how can I say this the easiest way, It's a motion that we're at the end. It really just says that the council is going to recommend that Who Is Access is included in the new policy development process for registrar accreditation agreements. And the Who Is Access we're speaking of is to ensure that Who Is data is accessible in appropriately reliable, enforceable, and consistent fashion. So it's about those users of Who Is data being able to access it. So we're trying to recommend that it show up in the policy development process for registrar accreditation agreement whenever it begins. And it has one other resolve. It says by the end of September, by the end of the summer, to check and see whether that policy development process or PDP has begun and whether it's included this issue, and then sets the table for considering alternative approaches to force this requirement on registrars. And Elisa, I'd love to turn it over to you, maybe even to see how this factors into the RAA negotiations that have been going on, and whether you anticipate this resolution might even encounter any problems tomorrow at council.
Honestly, I don't really know, and I'm a little confused about, these negotiations, the registrar accreditation agreement negotiations have been going on for so long, and they're negotiating so much. I'm not sure how, you know, after that concludes and they actually decide that they'll make some amendments to the agreement, I'm not sure exactly at that point, you know, at the point that they make these amendments and let's say people are moderately happy, like the plan is then to have a PDP on the agreement? Is that correct?
Lisa, let me see if I can contribute. It's Marilyn Kay. Let me see if I can contribute to this. I just had a call actually with ICANN on this topic. Could we park, Steve, the discussion on the broader issues
You know, there's this long list.
Right, Marilyn, I can make it real quick. The discussion is that there's going to be a negotiation on the RAA. We'll see how that comes out. But apart from that, there can be a parallel track of developing new consensus policies that immediately become binding upon registrars and registries, whether they're in the RAA or not. And that policy development process, or PDP, as you all know, is the way in which we get that done.
But the feedback I have from the ICANN staff is they're not going to launch a PDP until certain all the reports are in. I think the WHOIS issue, which is such a priority for us, if we could come back to that next Monday as a specific topic, and then we develop our strategy, because I think you've identified something that we might be able to leverage in discussions with board members, specific board members. But right now, this is a priority topic for the BC, priority topic for the GAC. I don't know if we can, I think maybe we need to, from your perspective, come up with a strategy for this, because the WHOIS review team implementation is tied up in this. It's a later topic, but it's relevant to us. Maybe we can use the WHOIS review team prioritization, Steve, and advance your agenda.
Yep, we'll do that. That's it for, I think, the two votes on council. There are several other updates and reports, and there will be other discussions. And those of you who don't listen to the council report, council call tomorrow, we'll get a report. I'll ask Zahid for a report on what other discussions happen. That's all for the GNSO council meeting tomorrow. I did circulate last night a list of a dozen public comment periods that are open. As you probably know, a 13th was opened late yesterday on the conflict of interest for board members. There's a lot of them in there, and I'm looking at the timing for this call. We're already an hour. Marilyn, what portion of the agenda remains, and do you want me to deep dive into some of the public comment periods or not?
I think the members could benefit, Steve, if you don't mind, from you and Benny have presented the list. If you don't mind, I want to make sure we hear from Steve, but I think this list of, if I might call the data dump prior to our coming to Prague, could we take a pause, hear from Chris, which is probably 5 minutes, and then come back to you and have you help us understand the agenda items for Prague? Would that work?
Sure.
Chris?
Yes, hi, Marilyn.
Can you help to explain to us the scary or useful information on the budget, the ICANN budget, and the strategic plan, and opportunities to participate in that, and your own analysis and work on that?
Yes, certainly. We've got three documents for comment actually open on at the moment in this field. One is the FY13 budget operating plan. That's the big one. That the comment actually closed on the 24th of May last. I managed to get some comments in my vice chair's capacity, and then shortly after that, and part of the comments was the complaint that the window had been shortened this year round to make room for the reply round, which is still open till June the 15th. They must have listened to that, or because I think I wasn't the only one. They then extended the comments to June the 9th, so there's still time to get more comments in, and if any of the members would like to give some feedback on that. I think particular areas, just looking at it, at priorities, other than the normal thing with the lack of detail. But when you try and go through it, we see in the compliance section, and I can send round to the list an email of just the activities, but in the compliance on page 14, I mean, this is probably the one area of the budget that's actually is increased by 60%. That, you know, that's a huge increase on, well, there was an underspend last year, and there's a list of areas, including a ticket, an assessment system of ticket complaints, and increasing staff levels from, I think, 13 up to about 17. So there's a lot of things there that we're pleased with. On SSR, that's another large area in the budget, covering a wide number of activities. I think there's a list of about 12 different SSR activities, about 9 million, up 14% on last year. So these are all pulling in the direction that the BC is interested in. Who is a little bit more complicated because it's split into various areas of the budget, part in operational reviews and as a project area as well, for the WHOIS program. I think it's about 1 million allocated for a project area. So if anybody is interested in these in particular, and helping with this, either becoming a rapporteur for some of these coming on, I don't know whether Angie Graves or Gabrielle or Troy might have a specific interest. You'd certainly be very welcome.
Marilyn, this is Bill Smith. Could I jump in?
Jim, just one quick comment before if I turn to you, if that's okay. Can I, when you speak, can you tell Chris if you can be, we need to do some work before Prague and some presence in Prague. So when you speak, can you tell Chris you can work pre-Prague and you can join him and me in Prague, if that's okay, Chris?
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry, Jim.
Go. Was it Bill? Go ahead.
I think it was Bill.
Oh, sorry,
yep,
it was
this
Bill.
Is Bill.
Sorry, Bill. I was attributing you to Jim. Bill.
That's okay. On the compliance, WHOIS compliance numbers, or just the compliance team numbers, I would suggest that you take a look at the WHOIS review team mail list, the archives for it. On May 23rd, I sent a note there about the actuals that we were disclosed to us after we finalized our report. 46% of the compliance spending actually comes from other department allocations, which is a wonderful way to increase spending and but actually do nothing, right, that is new. It's
Bill,
just transferring
Bill.
Payments from...
Bill.
From one side to another.
Yeah, Bill, hold on just a minute. Benny, would you please pause the recording?
Sure. Kelly, would you be able to please pause the recording?
Yes. One moment, please.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bill, I think this is an incredibly important discussion, but I didn't actually want to put it on the...
Another item that I listed in there is travel receives overhead, an overhead computation of 36%. Again, that's just an incredible number from my perspective. Consulting firms that have attempted to charge 15% overhead that I've dealt with have, that's the most I've ever had to pay. I don't know what we could be charging 36%. And admin overhead is 119%, right? So it's impossible with the numbers that we've been presented at this point to know how the money is actually being spent, in my opinion, and to what benefit. You know, when half of your department expenditure is being contributed to you by someone else, how much control can you actually have on that? Having managed significant budgets before, I know that the answer is not much.
Yes, thanks, Bill. It sounds like you're alluding to something that's in much more detail than in the budget documents itself. So
yes.
Certainly, if you could email me just a link to that that mailing list, save me having to hunt it out myself. That would.
Can I, if you don't mind, because I'm going to move on, but I want to ask a question. Chris made a reference to a few members. You know, we have a small working group, Chris, that you chair in the BC, and then you chair a CSG working group.
Yes, there's a CSG working group that essentially comprises of the three of, well, yourself, myself, Marilyn, and the two chairs of the ISP and Stephen Tullis, the
But maybe this is an opportunity to recruit Gabby, Steve, Bill, a few other people.
That would be fantastic, because that group's sort of losing a little bit of momentum. I'm not quite sure why. So any help on that, either from a CSG point of view, or if not, there's an overlap anyway, and it's good for the BC. So. Yes, and an easy start onto that, just sort of moving on, because I know we're short of time, is actually the second one that's out at the moment, which is the FY13 Community Travel Support Guidelines. And that's a relatively small document. It's only 16 pages, not at all complicated. So that's quite a good one for people to come in on, and it's not a heavy workload on that one. And the third one that's just been released is not actually a document. It's for the strategic plan, the next year's strategic plan, the 2012-2015 one, and a proposed timeline. That's not the plan itself. A timeline has been proposed. And the timeline suggests that the strategic plan workshops at staff level going on at the moment or have just been going on in May, there's going to be strategic plan sessions at Prague about the four pillars, and then it looks like a working group in July for the public comment forums in August. So it looks like there's a budget item for consultancy for strategic plan, I think, at about 45,000. So there's obviously more going on this year in the strategic plan than previous years.
So let me comment on that. Thanks for that. We will be issuing an update to the BC members on the strategic plan and how to address that. Right now there's a possibility of a initial meeting in Prague, and then this meeting that Chris has just identified for July. I need to move us forward on the agenda, but Chris, if we could, anyone who's interested, can I have them email you directly and copy Benny? And
certainly.
We have a different problem which hasn't been mentioned. I'm going to mention it but not dwell on it because we got to go on to other things, and that is ICANN has $350 million in the bank. And that probably puts their not-for-profit status at risk. We're not going to dwell on that on this call, but it is a question that the BC will ask them, and that is, how do they make sure that amount of revenue, they put a third of that revenue into reserved to deal with legal issues, but they still have more than $100 million, maybe $200 million, and U.S.
IRS issues may become a significant problem for ICANN if they don't figure out how they are dealing with that. Stability of the organization will be a VC discussion on the 11th and the 18th. We're not going to deal with it now. I want to go back to planning fraud.
Yeah, Marilyn, could I just jump in for 30 seconds on the budget?
Please.
Yeah, Phil here. I just sent something around which should show up in everyone's inbox momentarily. ICA has recently filed two letters, one on the budget and the comment period. We did ask for initiation of a PDP to discuss the use of those very substantial funds coming in from new TLD application fees. We also asked for greater explanation of the $438,000 budgeted for trademark clearinghouse implementation, just to find out what's that going to go for. And we are opposing any funding for the URS summits. And you can read the letter, but Kurt's recent, you know, frankly, everyone was there in Dakar and San Jose when I asked Kurt when we'd see an open implementation process for URS, like the one that's been proceeding for the trademark clearinghouse since last fall. And he kept saying next month, and then he sent a note to the GNSO saying, well, we've been having an implementation process, but just with we've just been talking to the IP constituency and to WIPO. So I won't get into more detail, but I think what they've done on URS, the implementation process has not been transparent, has not been open, and the process going forward for reconfiguration looks like a non-standard deviation from the policy process. So I just wanted to note that and bring it to everyone's attention.
Phil, this is Steve. You filed a request for documents to explain what's been going on at ICANN.
Yes, last Thursday I filed a DID, a very detailed DIDP, because it's very broad in scope, because I don't know exactly what's in their files, and the whatever response I get should happen no later than the week of the Prague meeting. But it basically asks for all documents relating to what implementation has taken place so far, how the decision to call for URS summits, which we know now is just a placeholder for a undefined process, how that was reached, and what they envision going forward, and we'll see what they come back with.
Bill, if you don't mind, Steve, some of the language, the acronyms you've used might not be so easily understood.
Yeah, a DIDP is basically ICANN's equivalent to the Freedom of Information Act, where you can file a request for any documents in their possession relating to any subject of interest, and there are exceptions, obviously, proprietary company data, certain personnel matters, but the general default rule is that unless it falls under one of the confidentiality exceptions, they're supposed to provide the material requested.
So let me, it's Marilyn for the record, and I think the past speaker was Phil Corman and
yes.
Bianco and Phil Corman. Let me comment on, if I could kind of get us back to how this relates to the list of topics. Phil, thank you for raising that. I think it's a I think it's a topic we need to begin to talk about. So I'm going to park it for today, put it on to the comment, the agenda for the 11th, and that is how the on the 13th of the month, ICANN is going to release the names of the strings that are applied for. And when you read the strings, you're going to see company who are applying for strings, parties who are applying for other strings, potentially governments, et cetera. On the 11th, we want to talk more about how we are going to plan for Prague. So I just want to park that because we're running out of time today. And make sure that we can do two things on the 11th. We're going to review the agenda. The council call will have taken place, Steve. But we will also be discussing pre-string release, how the BC can be effective in Prague. We have Aisha on the phone. We have a number of other people on the phone. We will want to plan on the 11th for how the business constituency can be effective in Prague. And then on the 18th, we will do our final planning. Is there anything that members want to discuss today before we move to, we move an agenda on the 11th, we move an agenda on the 18th? And I know we've got a few folks. You know, we're going to, Prague is a little weird for us.
So, can I say something? This is Gabby.
Please, Gabby.
Regarding Prague, I'm going to be there as part of the team of the newcomers lounge. And I was wondering maybe if I find newcomers that are related to business, maybe you want me to send them specifically to you, or you want some guidance that I will give them in particular, and maybe this is something interesting for you to tell me that I will be able to guide people to the right place.
You maybe Chris and you and I can talk offline, Gabby. That would be fantastic. I was pleased to see Gabby's one of our new members to the BC, and for those of you who haven't met her personally, you'll see her in Prague. Chris and I might work with you private offline, Gabby.
Perfect.
I think that would be fantastic. And I know that what is the Ganga, who is the WITSA representative from Kenya, will be in Prague as well. So maybe you and Wado and Chris and Aisha, who's Aisha represents ICC but is trying to advance representation from the Aisha, if you, are you still on the phone?
I am.
Could you maybe join us on a special call with Gabby and Jimson and Wado on planning for Prague?
Happy to be included, and if it works in the schedule, I'm happy to be there. Thanks.
So let me move to...
One more thing, Marilyn. This is Angie Graves.
Please, Angie. Yes.
Yeah, I heard my name mentioned, I think, by Chris, but I didn't hear the context, so I wanted to invite Chris to follow up with me in an email or a separate call. Thanks.
Well, Angie, I'm going to preempt Chris for just a minute. Angie is one of our new members, and she has accepted an invitation to join Ron Andrus in our representation as the BC on a particularly tough set of issues, and I just want to say, if for any new members, if you want to, you know, join participation in particular working groups or other things, Steve Del Bianco, Ron Andreff, and others. But Angie, I want to compliment you on jumping in to joining Ron on representing us on this particular working group that you've joined.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, well, you know, we're torturing you, I know, but,
it's,
you know,
it's all good, and Ron's the one being tortured, actually, I think.
Ron and Angie, for those of you who don't know this, we have a working group and a council that has to do with who we're going to be when we grow up, and Ron is and Angie are representing the business constituency. I've gone through the full agenda. I want to open this for any comments. I know we need to wrap up very shortly. On Monday, we're going to go through the agenda, and Vinny and I are going to try to help address the... Yeah, we need to have business constituency members in different meetings, and unfortunately, I'm just going to say unfortunately, we have a board that doesn't fully understand that they work for the community, and it's, the meeting is really challenged by that. The good news is, on the 13th, Vinny, we've scheduled a conference call with the CSG, with Bill Graham. Bill Graham is the board member who was elected from the non-commercial house. As some of you will know, that I recruited Bill in lieu of my standing as a board member. And one of the challenges for Bill is he has not spent time in understanding fully the house that has elected him. So we made a commitment to invite him to a dialogue with members. That call is the 13th. Benny's going to be sending that out to all of you and asking for those of you who can join. We have a short list of topics. She'll send you those topics. If you want to change the topics and add to them, please do that. It's your call. On Sunday in Prague, the BC has arranged a dialogue with two board members, Bruce Tonkin and Bill. And for those of you who will be in Prague, we will, because of the time difference, we'll also have dial-in. It'll be another opportunity to talk to those board members about your We're going to try to make this about your talking to the board members, not the officers talking to the board members. So, two dates. On the 11th, we have another call. On the 13th, there's a call with Bill Graham. On the 18th, there's another call with BC. That's our final preparation call for Prague. And in the meantime, if you are coming to Prague and you haven't let Benny know, please do that, because we're trying to organize some private interactions with governments while we're in Prague, and we need to know who's going to be there. Anything else, Benny?
No, that actually concludes everything.
Actually, Marilyn, this is Alisa.
Alisa, please.
I just wanted to make everyone aware that I had sent out a draft of some comments on the WHOIS review team's final report, and just mention that for the most part, the report remained pretty much the same. They reordered the recommendations. They added a couple recommendations, which I think hopefully we can agree with. So I would just ask if people can take a look at that, and if they have any comments on those draft comments that I sent out, to please send those to me. Those comments are actually due on the 10th if we want to get them into the first part of the comment period.
Thank you, Alisa. It's Marilyn. I'm going to say, and I really want members to understand this, review team recommendations have to be treated by the ICANN board and the ICANN senior staff as imperatives, not as options. We fought very hard to make that the case, and I am aware that some members of the community and perhaps the ICANN senior staff don't understand that. That's a really important point. And so your comments to Elisa's document are important, but I think we need to make sure when Chris, when we look at the budget, there's nothing in the budget, for instance, that calls for the ATRT relaunch. The ATRT relaunch is due in January. That is in this budget. It's not there. So I'll come back to Chris and we'll provide that in our comments. But, you know, the BC needs to, members, Elisa, your comments are really helpful on who is. I think this probably extends to SSR as well and to ATRT. So I'll take that up with the CSG and with Jeff Bergman as the representative for SSR CSG. Because the budget implications for this, you're putting forward the substance. I think Chris and others and you and I need to make sure the budget is there, not just the substance, right?
Right, and that was actually one of the two kind of new recommendations. One of them was to ensure that that budget and resources and technology were made available to complete the recommendations. That was actually one of the new recommendations. The second sort of new recommendation was that basically a plan for how to complete the recommendations or how to move forward with the recommendations, a plan would be put in place within the next 3 months.
Elisa, it's Steve. Quick question for you, and thanks for preparing the comments on the final report. How many of our draft report recommendations were embraced by the review team in this final report?
There were a few things. So, for instance, we made comments like, you know, how are they going to measure who is improvements? And so they gave some specifics around that. They gave some more specifics around making who is a strategic priority. So there were actually a few things that had been incorporated. The other thing I'll mention is they actually combined proxy and privacy services. They made that sort of one subject. And we actually internally have had a lot of questions about the differences between the two. And I don't recall if we actually commented on that, but that was another kind of big change in the – I won't say big change because there weren't a lot of big changes in the final report, but that was the other change. But, yeah, there were a few things that I saw integrated from based on our comments.
That's great. Thanks a lot. And the distinctions between requirements of proxy and privacy for who is also the subject of a study that we had asked ICANN to do years ago. And item 7 on the public comment period is for a feasibility of figuring out how effective registrars are at responding when they get a proxy or privacy reveal and relay request. Those are due the 25th of June. So I would have to circle back with you and anyone else on the call who's interested in helping us push ahead on that. We definitely want ICANN to do the study, but if the feasibility identified by the vendor identifies challenges in doing it, I think we've got to identify ways to get around those challenges because we need fact-based information from studies like this or we'll never be able to push ahead with policy changes that will hold registrars to new standards of performance.
Right.
Fantastic. Okay. Benny, can you announce our next two events, and let's focus on what they're about.
Marilyn, it's Steve. Can I interject one little update?
Of course.
Steve. On the 13th of June, as you said, it's the what we call Reveal Day, where ICANN will publish on their website these strings that have been applied for. But BC members should be tuned in because it's not just the strings. They'll also disclose the name of the applicant for that string, And if there are multiple applicants for the same string, you'll see them all. You will have a sense of who's competing with each other. It'll also disclose the type of application, that is, whether it's a community app or a standard application. And that will raise the issue of how and whether applicants have self-designated themselves as community, which carries with it enforceable obligations to restrict who can register domain names to the left of the dot. But if they don't go community, none of those restrictions are enforceable. And that's been one of the business constituency's main gripes about the program, is that we're going to be asked to comment on new strings without really knowing the kinds of applicants that would be allowed to register and the terms of service that would be applied to them. Thank you.
You know, it's Marilyn. Can I just say, next Monday we're going to spend more time talking about what I call the March of the Brands and the planning. And Steve, if we can spend more time on this particular issue, I think that's really going to be helpful to VC and thinking about associations in particular on how they might communicate with their members to participate in ICANN with us. I'm going to wrap this up unless there's any final comments from members, and there is a council call tomorrow. The council call can be listened to in case you're available. Zaid is carrying a proxy for John on the vote. Anything else on that topic, Steve?
Nope, thank you.
Anything that members want to comment on?
Marilyn, Chris here. I just want to quickly thank John Nevitt, who stood down from the Finance Committee, and thank him for the service he's given over the last couple of years, and thank Jim Baskin, who's stood up to the role on that. Thank you.
I'm going to be a little more elaborate. Thank you, Chris. John has been a very active member of your subcommittee on the Finance Subcommittee, and he's moving on to it's interesting. John's business moves him into focus on new GTLDs, and so he voluntarily absented himself, which is demonstrates the integrity of one of our members. And Jim, I agree with Chris, we want to thank you for stepping up to joining the subcommittee. But I think I just wanted to, in particular, say a few more words in appreciation for John, who did a lot of work for us, and when it was clear to him that his business focus did not meet the BC, he voluntarily stepped down and made it clear. That's something to be said about the integrity we expect from business. On that note, I'm going to close the call. And thanks, Chris, for reminding us to say thanks to John in this call as well as online. Thanks.
Thanks, Marilyn. Cheerio.